In her book, Mindful of Race, Transforming Racism from the Inside Out, Ruth King writes, "It would be wholesome for all of humanity if white people as a collective were to see themselves as racial individuals and to recognize whiteness as a racial constellation with roots, history, power, and privilege that negatively impact other races, and then to organize themselves to dismantle racial constellations of harm." I love Ruth King's book. In Boundless Way Zen, we're reading it in our recently formed racial justice group. We also, as you know, discuss race openly in Morningstar from time to time. Of course, not everyone is entirely comfortable with this direction, but I'm not sure comfort is the point. One Sangha member suggested raising questions about race in a Zen Sangha is unwise, and I understand this concern. It's not an easy topic. I do worry sometimes that we may unintentionally harm one another in this fraught territory, particularly as a mixed race, mixed ethnicity Sangha, intersectional Sangha. There is risk involved. But Zen offers us unique precepts, insights, and practices that can help us wake up with compassion to the construct of race and racial constellations of harm so that we can alleviate suffering in this world. Why race, specifically? Racist policies are a particularly salient form of oppression in American society, resulting in imprisonment, poverty, disenfranchisement, inadequate health care, environmental injustice, limited educational opportunities, and more. There are other intersectional forms of oppression that deserve our attention. Homophobia, antisemitism, just poverty. But anti-racist activism combats them all. Our American caste system is rooted in a relentless series of targeted policies that have disenfranchised and oppressed people of color while economically propping up white people. White families in Boston have a median net worth of $247,500, while black families have a net worth of just $8. To say the discrepancy is black people's fault is a racist idea. This inequity is the result of hundreds of years of racist policies, including slavery, Jim Crow, segregation, redlining, and disproportionately criminalizing black and brown people. These policies and many more have led to stark inequities that persist for people of color. Ibram Kendi argues that racist ideas are born when people blame the racial group, not the racist policies, for ongoing inequities. Such racist tropes are numberless in our culture, contributing to often unconscious senses of superiority and inferiority. Once we blame the victims in this way, we become silent and complicit in ongoing oppression. Many of these implicit biases that we carry and that have been woven into us over years and years of swimming in white supremacy, these biases need to be brought to light through close attention or they remain hidden to us, unconscious. So what does Zen bring? Part of Zen practice is awakening to our own delusions, taking responsibility for them and seeing through them. We chant, "Delusions are endless, I vow to end them." In Zen, we are encouraged to turn the light around, shine it within, and actually examine the delusions that generate suffering. What is our motive for this work? Our great vow is to liberate all beings from suffering, not just ourselves. This is about recognizing that we are interwoven. We are not separate beings. Part of what we realize in introspection is that our thoughts and conceptions are not reality itself. This may seem obvious, but in day-to-day life, we are often deceived. My idea of a cucumber is not its taste in my mouth. My impression of a person is not the animated presence before me. This is helpful insight when becoming aware of our racial views. It's important to recognize that our inherited conceptions of races are socially conditioned and biased. And by the way, this bias they've found in many, many tests, that it's relatively universal. Even people of color inherit and internalize racial bias. Race is actually a biologically meaningless category, though. Kendi calls race a mirage. From the absolute perspective of what Zen folks call emptiness, races do not have intrinsic or fixed essences at all. Nothing does. However, Kendi also appropriately argues that these mirages of race have enormous power in our hearts, minds, and society. We get lost in the absolute when we try to whitewash problems through claims of oneness. It's a form of denial that's privileged, uncompassionate, and dishonest. So from the Zen perspective, though we recognize concepts as concepts, we also recognize the relative truth that these socially constructed designations of race have consequences. White people in particular may wish to spiritually bypass examining how impressions of race live in our hearts, minds, and society due to our history of creating policies that oppress people of color and economically benefit white people. White people often react negatively to being asked to think about privilege and racist policies. We quickly move into defensiveness, dismissiveness, and deflection, including myself here, perhaps because deep down we know we're complicit in policies that have resulted in inequitable outcomes, and we have not remedied those inequities. But white people also suffer due to racism. We suffer disconnection and a loss of kinship. We suffer from segregation. We suffer an enormous loss of our capacity to love, as we can become cold, disengaged, even hateful. We are not separate from this suffering world after all. Organizations like Black Lives Matter call us to wake up. Avalokiteshvara, the Buddhist archetype of compassion, exemplifies hearing and responding to the cries of the world. She does not turn away, but extends 1,000 hands to help the many beings. Zen practice helps us awaken Avalokiteshvara in ourselves. Zen practice teaches us that we can meet our personal and collective suffering, and we can talk about it skillfully by honoring the precepts of not speaking falsely and not elevating ourselves at the expense of others. In this way, we take personal responsibility. We also practice listening compassionately. When pain arises in ourselves and in others, we need not turn away. This is possible because through practice, we recognize that we are not only our suffering. We are also the earth and sky. This wider container gives us space to acknowledge suffering without getting swept away in reactivity. The vast sky gives the thundercloud infinite space. Put differently, we're like boundless oceans containing tumultuous waves. And especially today, the waves are indeed tumultuous. We don't deny the waves. We give them space to arise, roar, and fall. In meditation, we discover a boundless compassion. And this compassion is literally the landscape of our lives that allows us to take the suffering of the world into our hearts. When we see suffering and its causes clearly, we are moved to take action and help alleviate that suffering. We can awaken to racial constellations of harm no matter our race, and this work can unfold collectively without centering whiteness. But Ruth King suggests that it may be helpful to begin in racial affinity groups. Zenju Ershley Manuel suggests that some people of color may need their own affinity groups as healing sanctuaries. And Ruth King suggests this can help participants recognize and respect the variety of experiences among people of color. And as one white Sangha member put it, "I have never thought about what it means to be white. I wonder why." White people have our own work to do in realizing that we are indeed racial beings with roots, history, power, and privilege that negatively impact other races, but that could be used to help create a more just society. Every time we practice together in Boundless Way Zen, we vow to atone for our endless greed, aversion, and ignorance. We can sometimes translate that word aversion as hatred or supremacy. We vow to liberate all beings from the suffering these poisons cause. Dismantling racial constellations of harm is one important way we can enact this vow.